The dollar has nothing to fear, I don't think, from Bitcoin.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie for Reason TV, and today we're talking about Bitcoin with Jerry Brito. He is a senior fellow at the Mercatus Center, and he's the editor and contributor to a great anthology called Copyright Unbalance. Jerry, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Bitcoin is a decentralized currency because there is no central bank in Bitcoin. Talk a little bit about how it operates as a as a thing.
So that's one of the main features of Bitcoin, is that it's a decentralized digital currency. And what this means is that there's no central bank. There's no central banker that can decide to increase the money supply. The other aspect of it is a payment system, right? So that's the other part of being a decentralized currency. By being decentralized, this means that there is no central bank, but also no Bitcoin company, right? So if you think about the way we do online transactions today, you can think of PayPal. And so why do we need PayPal? Why can't I just send you cash over the wires the way I send you an email? Well, the reason is that you need somebody to keep a ledger that has all of our balances. And if I'm going to send you some money, it deducts it. You know, the company, PayPal, it's a trusted third party, deducts the amount from my account and adds it to yours. If we didn't have a trusted third party until now, I could basically spend money twice. I could send you an amount, and because it's digital, I can make a copy of that cash and send it to somebody else a second time. Bitcoin solves the double spending problem without employing a sort of trusted third party. And the way it does this is that the ledger that you need to keep is distributed peer-to-peer amongst all of the users of Bitcoin.
And it's basically, you, when you spend a Bitcoin, it goes out of your account, it goes to whoever you send it to, and that's it.
And that's it. And basically, all of the other nodes, it's kind of like BitTorrent, right? So you just all join peer-to-peer. Your transaction is completely public, and it is transmitted across the entire network, and it's reconciled by everybody. And everybody sort of vouches, like, yep, this is.
What kind of transactions is Bitcoin most often used?
Right. So probably the most popular use of Bitcoin right now is gambling. Probably approximating 50% of transactions on a Bitcoin network are gambling. The other ones you can imagine is like retail or selling of goods and services. For example, WordPress.com is probably the most prominent company that takes Bitcoin, also Reddit. So you have those goods and services. And then you have drugs and other illicit goods that are being sold in sort of encrypted hidden sites.
Is it a sign that the, you know, kind of the global financial or monetary system is falling apart and we're desperate for anything? Or is it actually a sign that things are really innovative and that we are moving into a new stage of kind of, you know, we're supposedly past the nation state. Are we actually past the nation state currency system, which would be even more radical?
So I think it's a little bit of both. I think that especially after the events in Cyprus, this sort of captured, you know, it's this idea that you have this currency that could be traded online, so it's a bit more portable than gold, that can't be inflated, sort of captured a lot, you know, the mind of a lot of people. And so this became a news hook that the media could use to report about Bitcoin. And so this is, I think, why it's gotten so much attention. So I think a lot of it is fear of either hyperinflation or sort of asset controls or basically seizure. That's
right,
a big
because
part
that
of
was,
it.
In a lot of ways, that was the issue in Cyprus, right? That a creditor organization was going to say, you know what, we're just taking 10 or whatever percent off the top of everybody's bank account.
You're just taking a haircut,
yeah.
Right? And here in the U.S., probably the fear would be hyperinflation.
Right. What will have to happen, or can Bitcoin become a kind of mainstream currency or payment system? And if so, what has to happen for that to occur?
Okay, so again, those are two separate questions. Mm-hmm. Can it become a mainstream currency? I don't think so, right? So it's never going to be in true competition with the dollar,
right?
The dollar has nothing to fear, I don't think, from Bitcoin. Can it become a more mainstream payment processor? Absolutely. We're already seeing this. There's a company called BitPay, which sort of has jump-started this. What they do for their clients, which includes WordPress.com, they basically allow the seller, so let's say it's WordPress selling blogging, premium blogging services. Somebody in Iran wants to buy some of this. It's a dissident, wants to put up a blog. They don't have access to Visa, MasterCard, they don't have dollars, right? So how do they go to WordPress, they say they choose an option after they've filled up their cart, and it's $30, whatever it is. They choose an option to pay with Bitcoin. At that point, they're taken to BitPay. They pay with Bitcoins, and BitPay deposits dollars into WordPress's account. So WordPress never touches any Bitcoins. And it is much cheaper for everybody involved than PayPal, Visa, and it's now all parts of the world that don't have access to those payment processors do.
Well, we'll leave it there. We have been talking with Jerry Brito. He's a senior fellow at the Mercatus Center, and he's also the editor of Copyright on Balance, an absolute must-read anthology about copyright and intellectual property laws. Jerry, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.